Greetings once again from St. Michael's Broadcast, and we continue today with this message of inspiration and hope that has come to us in our day through the intercession of the Mother of God. The apparition of Our Lady at Bayside is commonly associated with the flaming prophecies of the last days that are about to unfold. But equally impressive have been the many miracles, cures, and spiritual helps that have come to mankind as a direct result of this mission. Faith and hope have been restored for many, as families are brought back together even against the worst possible odds. And our President Michael Mangan recently interviewed a party from upstate New York, and therein you will see how this mission of love was instrumental in restoring love to a broken relationship.
David, it's our pleasure to have with us some special guests this afternoon, Patricia and Dan Forrest from Narrowsburg, New York. And good afternoon, Patricia.
Good afternoon.
Daniel.
Good afternoon.
And David, as I may have mentioned to you, and I've certainly mentioned to the other members of the lay order, we have a really fantastic testimonial that we'd like to share with everyone and our listening audience. Really, very briefly, a story of a couple that reunited after 25 years absence through the intercession of Our Lady of the Roses, Mary Help of Mothers, and her beloved Sia Veronica of the Cross. Patricia, let's start with you. Take it away.
Okay. Michael, I can only tell you the truth. 1970, when he walked out on the children and I was an extremely bitter, militant, hard woman. And then 7 years later, I remarried. And in 1979, I found a flyer in St. Stan's Church, and the header read, "The Lourdes of America." And that's what started my conversion, and I have to call it my conversion. When I first went there, my heart was extremely hard and extremely bitter. But through the years, she brought me around. And I saw many miracles also. And then around 1991, something told me to start praying for Dan, this man that I absolutely hated. But whenever I prayed the rosary, I always invoked Our Lady of the Roses. So it's through her that my life turned around.
Amazing. Really amazing, Patricia. And of course, you just gave the high points over 25 years. And I think we have to fill in some of the gaps here, some of the details.
I wrote to Veronica because I wanted to know, was he dead or alive? And knowing that she could speak directly to the Blessed Mother or God, that she would give me an answer. And she did write back that he was alive. And then I started to pray more so on the rosary, knowing, you know, that he was alive. Because at that time, I didn't know if he was
alive. In fact, if I recall, Patricia, Veronica, I remember the letter, and I remember Veronica's handwritten note in the margin of the letter, and it said that he had assumed another identity.
Right.
And Dan, if you've caught your breath here.
1970, my life, I felt, started to come apart. I had problems with my family. I had problems with my wife. We had lost two children. We were fighting all the time. I felt my family was turning from me. I was really at a very weak point. Then my children started to tell me that they were going to run away from home if I didn't leave, because they hated me. And I really didn't feel like there was much of anything left for me. And I thought the only thing left was to get out. Things were getting too great on me. I couldn't take it. I didn't know which way to turn anymore. I knew I didn't feel I was wanted by anybody. And I left.
Okay. So you were beset by personal tragedy, a lot of misfortune, late 60s. By 1970, it hit its climax. You decided to leave. Patricia and her two children. How old were the children at the time, Patricia?
5 and 7 and a half.
And Dan, where did you go?
I went to New Mexico, Albuquerque, New Mexico. I knew some cowboys in Albuquerque, New Mexico. They described the city to me, and I thought that was a good place to go. Because they said it was a good place to hide. Nobody bothered anybody there. You could live your own life if you wanted to, and that was the ideal place to hide.
1970, and of course, one of the problems, as you mentioned off air at the time, that a close friend of the family and neighbor, a woman, who was encountering similar marital problems, she apparently decided to follow you. Is that right?
Every man who turns down a bad road usually runs into a woman that's going to give him all the right answers, and you kind of turn towards them at the time, a weak moment. And she knew how to use me, is the best way to put it. And she was the one that convinced me not to come back. After 2 weeks, when I wanted to go home, she had all the answers.
Okay, so she followed you to New Mexico, and so she was your girlfriend for all of these years. Meanwhile, Patricia, this is 1970. You hear from Dan, as he said, 2 weeks later. And what's your comment? What's your reaction at this point?
I thought he was coming home. And day after day, the children and I waited, and he never showed up. And that's when I really did a 90-degree turn with hate. But I have to tell you the truth. Hate, bitterness, militancy. Then I was in a situation where God did not exist in the true sense. Everything with me was, I will do, I will take care of. He had nothing to do with it.
Did you now abandon the church? You didn't go to church anymore, or?
I abandoned the church for quite a few years. And then in 1979, I told you I found the flyer, and through the years, God made me take a good look at myself. I think I was one of the boils in his side also, until my conversion.
Well, and of course, now you mentioned during the 70s, you met a gentleman there. What's the story there?
Well, I just met him, and we started to date, and then we got married in a Protestant church, and I did not feel like I was married. That kept, you know, hitting me. And then after, through Our Lady of the Roses, we decided to live like brother and sister because we knew it was adultery. That's the word. So we had nothing to do with each other. And of course, later on, you know, when Dan came back, then it was, I felt better. It's one thing I did forget to tell you. There was a point before Dan came back that I was going to apply for an annulment. And I had read Our Lady's message that many annulments were not to be accepted in heaven. So I went to the church, and I started the process where they give you that psychological test. And the more I prayed the rosary, something kept telling me, you are not to do this. And I didn't. Because that was always uppermost in my mind, that the Blessed Mother said that these annulments were not acceptable to heaven. And I just remembered that one.
And let's jump over to Dan.
The years that I was away, I don't wish anybody on the life I led, because every time you looked at a door or heard a doorway open, you waited for somebody to come through and grab you. I was scared. I didn't like it. But in the late 80s, I think the Holy Mother went through the streets and found somebody laying in a gutter and pulled me up by my bootstraps. Many times I told Patricia after we got back together how I always felt like somebody grabbed me by the nap of the neck and kind of slapped my back of my head. You did that wrong. You're doing this is wrong. And well, in the late 80s, I started to come back. I believe she started to bring me back.
So it's interesting. It almost at the same time you have the Holy Ghost working on you, working on both of you at the same time and in your lives, and a prompting and a stirring and preparing the way, paving the way for this reunion. Patricia, we're going to jump back to 1991. You got the word from the Blessed Mother, right from the top, that Dan is alive. Meanwhile, you're working out your conversion. Now your daughter, who played such an integral role in this, steps in. What does she do? What do you do with this information?
I told Kathleen that he was alive, and through a friend of hers, she got his address, and telephone number. And I told her, I said, give him a call. And I backed away from it and I let her handle it. Because my daughter now had a son of her own, she wanted him to know something about his heritage. So now all of a sudden she had the urge to look for him. So I told her, you know, go ahead.
Did she work in an administration building or a government building where she had access to certain?
It was a private company where she had access to computers is the best way I could put it. And she was able to bring up his name on the computer. Was it difficult? Oh, you better believe it. Did I want to get my hands on him? Yes, I did. As I said, you know, my mind was in a whirlwind. But it is through the Blessed Mother that I was able to calm down a little bit. It was very difficult. If I told you, Michael, what I wanted to do to him in 1970, people would be jumping out of their chairs. Mm-hmm. That's the truth. Mm-hmm. And it boils down to one word, torture. You're going to keep a straight face, Michael.
Torture for you, or you wanted to torture him?
I wanted to torture him.
Okay.
Let me tell you about torture. When I found out I was going to meet her and my daughter, I was so nervous. I put a drill through my hand. I cut the sore on the end of my finger off. I could not concentrate on anything I was doing. And torture wasn't the word. I was shaking apart.
This is before that.
The Holy Mother, I would have never came through it.
This came to a conclusion in terms of finding Dan. Kathleen locates him in New Mexico, phone number 1995. She calls you. Do you actually remember the day?
July 28th, 1995, at 4:10 in the afternoon, New Mexico time, which would have been 6:10 New York time.
You're in the backyard having a barbecue?
No, I was sitting on a couch. We were entertaining some people at the house. And I got a phone call. It said there was a long-distance call for me. Would I accept it? From my daughter, and I says, yeah, I was very nervous. Then I started to get very nervous.
You left your daughter when she was 7 years old. She's calling 25 years later on the phone. What's going through your mind when she identified herself?
As soon as the sweat stopped pouring off my body and I stopped shaking, I said, yes. And she says, this is your daughter. I want to talk to you. Yeah.
You're sweating right now.
Oh, I sweating. Are you kidding? Yes.
One of the few times you ever answered the phone.
Yes.
You got a good point. These are good things.
Yeah. In all this time that I was hiding, we talked about hiding. I was always afraid. I never used the phone. I never answered the phone. This one time, I picked up the phone. The first time in I don't know how long that I picked up the phone. And there she was. And really, I shook inside, and I said, I got to go talk to her, and I went into my office at home to talk to her. We started to talk, and she settled me down, actually. I guess I could hear her nervousness as well, but then she started to talk about family, her son. You got to meet you got a grandson and all this here.
Were you relieved? Was this a sense of relief?
No, it was a sense of fear because I wasn't sure where we were going. You know, you get to know women, you know that they can talk, and you're not sure what they're saying. Then one day, of course, she sent me pictures. When I started to settle down, she sent me pictures of my grandson. She says, you're in New Mexico. You got cowboy boots and everything. He has them, too. I'll send you a picture of him wearing his cowboy boots. And then,
you didn't know where this was leading until two or three, after you spoke to your daughter two or three times. Then what did you determine this was leading to?
I felt she was very sincere in what she was saying.
I want to jump to Patricia because you know this is all happening, Patricia. What are your thoughts?
I went through a great emotional upheaval. But it was through Our Lady of the Roses that I kind of held the reins back, so to speak.
Dan.
Well, I came to New Mexico. We decided to meet in September, right after Labor Day. I flew into New York. I met my daughter for the first time. It was a very emotional meeting, tremendously emotional. Her and I sat in the park and talked, and we did. We got some food. We went to the park. We sat on a park bench, and we talked for maybe, I guess, 3 hours or more, four hours, and straightened out a few things. And when we got finished, I said to her, Do you still want me, or you want me to get on a plane? Give me a ride back to the airport. No, no, no. We're going to work through it. That's the past, was her words. That's how big she is. She's a wonderful person.
And this is, how many days into your visit with your daughter?
Okay, well, I was at my daughter's house for about 4 days, I think, 4 or 5 days. And then I went back to New Mexico, and then my daughter called me and said, my mother is coming to visit me for 2 weeks in October. Do you think you could come and see her? And I says, I'll be there. I'll get a plane ticket. I'll be there. I got on an airplane to fly out. I was brought up a religious person. I knew God, and I loved God. Unfortunately, I didn't turn to him when I needed him most, but he came back to me. He never abandoned me. Him and the Holy Mother never abandoned me. So on a plane, I was trying to pray, and I didn't know. I forgot how to say the Our Father. I forgot how to say the Holy Mary. Before I got off the airplane to meet Patricia, I was saying the Our Father, the Hail Mary, and the Apostles' Creed. So I guess I was in good hands, you might say. And then I got off the plane, and I had to walk the long mile. The plane was parked at the furthest gate away, so I had to walk all that way, and I saw her. How did I see her? I saw her face in a big glow. It was like somebody had a neon sign saying, here I am. And boy, I tell you, my heart lit up. And I says, I don't know what's going to happen.
Did you have a football helmet on and football pads?
I said to myself, well, who should I hug first, my daughter or my ex-wife? At that time, I called her my ex-wife. So I said, I don't know, which one should I go to first? I went to my daughter because she was the one that brought it all about. I gave her a hug, and she said, she kind of gave me a shove. And I met Patricia, and then Patricia and I met for the first time in 25 years.
Did you trip her? I mean, did you give her a big kiss or what?
I floated from my daughter to my wife, and we took her in my arms and gave her a big kiss. It was as sweet as I ever remembered it being.
Really? But you were nervous, though.
Nervous ain't the word for it. The old in the country would have worked at that minute.
You are listening to St. Michael's Broadcast, and we've been listening to this beautiful story of reconciliation that has come to pass through the intercession of Our Lady of the Roses at Bayside. And I think it's good to emphasize for our listeners that Dan just up and up left without even informing his wife beforehand, and he didn't show up until 25 years later. And even though he had the good intention of getting back with his wife within those first 2 weeks, and that she was eager to hear from him, it never materialized because of the woman. He listened to Eve and her nonsense, and she really was the cause of this whole breach. It would have never happened if it wasn't for her. But thankfully, Our Lady came along and closed it all up. She is the second Eve. And I think this really is the moral of today's story, that we should listen to Ave and not Eva. She will solve all of our problems without exception. And certainly today's story is just another example of the many graces that flow into our lives through Our Lady's mission at Bayside. And if you go to our website, this will give you a chance to learn the whole story of what has transpired in our time through the intercession of Our Lady of the Roses at Bayside. That website is www.smwa.org. We return now to our main menu for the conclusion of today's story.
So you gave her, you said it was the sweetest kiss in your life? Really? Wow, that's powerful. Patricia, now you have to describe blow by blow what's going by. You see him 50 feet down the corridor. Give us a blow-by-blow. This is 25 years.
I knew just by his walk that it was him. And I saw the cowboy hat and the cowboy jacket and the cowboy boots. But because I'm short, I wanted to make sure that I could see over the people. So when we finally came together, we did kiss each other hello. And by the way, everybody around us was watching us. And then I said to Kathleen, I guess we better go. And he didn't know what happened to me. All of a sudden, I took off down the run with the stairway. And he said to Kathleen, what is wrong with your mother? Where is she going? But I was a nervous wreck.
So you were overcome with emotion.
Very, very. This was still new to me. I guess I was in awe of what happened. But then, yes, we did hug each other and kiss each other, and my daughter was watching. And then I kind of got flustered. So I said, I think we better go. And that's when he said to Kathleen, what is wrong? with your mother.
And so you all went back to your daughter's house in Long Island. And how was the visit, Dan? How was the visit? For 2 weeks now, you were in each other's presence.
We talked a lot. We got to talk in private about things we needed to talk about. We did manage to come to a decision. We worked things out, and we decided we're going to try to go back together again.
Did you sense, though, both of you, that there was something different than that fateful year of 1970? That this was real and genuine and solid, Patricia?
I think I was in awe. It was unreal. But I had been praying the rosary before we went to the airport. And at that time, my daughter lived in the basement. And I left the rosary on the end table. When we came back, I don't remember what I was going downstairs for, but I went. And I turned on the light, and there was the rosary turned. And it turned to gold. And I went back upstairs, and I started to tell him about Our Lady of the Roses, because I felt it was a sign that he would believe that she really, you know, came to Bayside as an apparition to Veronica.
So right then and there, Our Lady of the Roses is, of course, she really has been assisting you all along. Since 1979, she's been really grooming you. And now here at a momentous time, the rosary turns gold, and now Our Lady has plans here. She eyes another soul here that she's going to snag. Did you believe in the messages right away when Patricia told you at your daughter's house?
I never really questioned them because of the way things happened, yes.
Let's proceed. The end of October 1995, you're there for 2 weeks. What's the next move, Patricia?
I couldn't sleep because he wanted to go back together, and I had to make up my mind what I wanted to do. So this was not a quick decision at all. But of course, I did, you know, I kept praying on it.
You knew, Dan, exactly what you wanted to do. You wanted to undo what was done. You needed to get back to Patricia. So it was very clear what had to be done on your end.
But I also had help, because when I got home, I was served with divorce papers by the other person, because she didn't want me to go talk to Patricia.
So she's...
So that pretty much told me where I was going without question. And I think that Holy Mother had a hand in that, too. She wanted us back the way God meant us to be.
Such an important decision, Patricia.
It was hard. It was hard.
Sure. Absolutely, certainly. And when did you make that decision? When was it official with Dan?
Before Thanksgiving, right? And then I said I was going. So I went back with him to New Mexico. He came and picked me up.
I told her if she decided we would go back together, I'd come and get her. So she told me, so we talked, and we decided, okay, let's go. I got on a plane, I went and picked her up and took her back to New Mexico.
And this is November 1995.
Mm-hmm. And yes, John did agree, because he knew it had to be. It had to, because we were living in adultery, and I couldn't take it anymore. And that was because of Our Lady of the Roses also.
After we got back together, we came to feel how close we really were by having born children through the grace of God.
Amazing. So you're back, reunited, living together again after 25 years in Albuquerque, November 1995. Are you completely healed? Is there still residual stuff?
I would have to say 95% healed.
How? This is very difficult, obviously. What do you attribute this to?
Our Lady of the Roses and Jesus. And I invoke her, because I always invoke her as Our Lady of the Roses, Mary, help of mothers. And then at the end of the rosary, him and I will both say, Mary, light of the world, pray for us. Our Lady of the Roses, pray for us. Mary, help of mothers, pray for us. And we will say this three times.
Well, you can see that it was Our Lady, under the glorious title of Our Lady of the Roses, Mary, Help of Mothers, that held your hand and Dan's hand since 1970. And, of course, that's when the apparitions began. We're in 1970. You're at peace?
Yes, yes. The only true sorrow I can say I have is that not more people believe. Because when you try to talk about it, they shy away. This doesn't exist. This cannot be. No matter what experience you've had as a witness, they don't want to believe it. And for that, I feel sorry for the Holy Mother. I really do.
Well, this certainly, it really is. Let's be honest. This is a heroic act of virtue that you have.
I can't, Michael.
How do you look at it then?
I look at it as the Our Lady of the Roses gets the credit and Christ. That's it. I can't give myself the credit.
And of course, you mentioned, Afia, you cited a scriptural verse that inspired you as well.
Right. Jesus said, if you do not forgive, neither will the Father forgive you. And I believe that. Otherwise, I could never have forgiven him.
Our Lady of the Roses has sustained you all along, given you that strength and fortitude to do what Holy Scripture commands that we do, even if it's difficult.
Now, July 28th, if you remember, was the first time I talked to her in 25 years, right? Well, I said, what are you going to do so we can remember this date? 1 year later, July 28th, my grandson Alex showed up.
That's his birth date?
Yes.
Wow, that is amazing. That is.
For 8 years, Kathleen was told, and they kept trying, you will never, ever have a child. And through Our Lady of the Roses, she did. Because my grandson is a miracle baby.
Your final thoughts, Daniel?
I just hope that this will help somebody out there contemplating something silly.
Patricia?
When we lived in my daughter's basement, my grandson was about four or five then, and he kept saying to me, Nana, do you smell
roses?
The whole room, the whole entire room was filled with the fragrance of roses. And he was only 4 or 5 years old, so he certainly wasn't making that up.
It's just a beautiful and amazing story. This is one story that ends happily ever after. Oh, God bless you.
You are listening to St. Michael's Broadcast. And that was our president, Michael Mangan, speaking with Daniel and Patricia Forrest of upstate New York. Copies of this tape are available upon sending us $2. The printed information is free for the writing. You can send your letters to St. Michael's World Apostolate, P.O. Box 514, Bayside, New York, 11361. That's St. Michael's World Apostolate, P.O. Box 514, Bayside, New York, 11361. And that just about wraps it up for today. Please join with us next week as we continue with this urgent message of Jesus and Mary to the world. Until then, may Our Lady bless you, and may she shower you with graces in abundance.